on the Wisdom Within Us radio network, where we explore the wisdom, energy, and technologies coming online following the 2012 event horizon. Our format may vary sometimes, and our conversations may be controversial. We ask that you participate with an open mind and heart and respect the points of view, especially if they are radically different than your own. We want to thank Jeeva Carter for our theme music. More can be found on our website, wisdomwithin.us. Our call-in number in the U.S. is area code 213-943-3684, or you can enter the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/wisdomwithinus. And now, here is our host, Daniel Douglas.
Well, I want to welcome everybody today to our premier program for Blog Talk Radio, wisdomwithin.us. And we are starting off with one of the most wonderful guests that I have had the opportunity to talk with. Our guest today is Dr. Marge Britt, and we worked together a few years ago with the Call to Love program. And in that, she has done such tremendous work in terms of inspiring people to move into awareness of themselves and awareness of the programs that are available to them. She has been an inspiration for the work that I'm doing here. And so without going any further into my history, let's bring Marge on the line and welcome her. Marge, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here, and I can hear you. How beautiful it is to be speaking with you, Daniel. You are a dear friend and just precious to me, and I hold a very warm place for you in my heart and all that you've given to Cult by Love in its first year of birth. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, Marge. And, you know, as I think back over that time and think of some of the dreams and the goals and the ideas that were put forth, and at that time, some of them seemed like they were reaching far into the future to almost the unknown. Yet, as I look at how that has unfolded and the tremendous work you have done in terms of moving toward those goals and accomplishing them, it's just phenomenal. You are indeed a powerful inspiration to any of us who are looking to expand our reach into the wider group of people who can listen. I know that it's a challenge sometimes when you're working with a platform and you have a constituency in a local area. But with the addition of the Internet and the growth of the Internet and the technology, now our reach is to the entire world. Talk to us a little bit about the goals and the ideas that you have for taking your message, Call to Love, to the entire planet.
It's called By Love. Many people say it just like you did, called to love, but it's actually called By Love, calledbylove.com, and now calledbylove.institute.com. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Daniel. The whole energy of vision is sometimes strange for people. First of all, if you're not a visionary, at least unaware of your potentials for being a visionary, you may think about that as, oh my, you know, that's something I could never do, and so you don't even relate to it. Or you think you're not interested. The other potential is that you can see the person who's talking about these visionary dreams and the things that seem so far in the future as someone that's really got a big ego. And what I realize is my ego wouldn't have had a clue about how to do the things that have been downloaded for me in moments of being given vision. My personal self, my human mind, absolutely does not have a clue about how to do these things. So what becomes totally essential, absolutely necessary, actually the word essential is a good word because its root is very connected to the word essence. You have to be connected to essence, the essence of the all that is. Now, that would be called by many different names by different people, depending on where they are in their lives and in their own process of awakening to that. It could be called God. It could be called Spirit. It could be called Beloved. It could be called Love. And I think of them all as synonyms. And so when I talk about being called by love, I know that that's what's happening. It's like a download that imprints within me, moves in into my very being. And as it does that, its presence and purpose is reflected in the statement of Jesus that we find in Scripture. And you and I both have a background as Unity ministers. Actually, that's an imprint that will never leave our lives. And we know all about that commission about go ye unto the world. And so that is what this is about, partly for me. And interestingly, I find parallels of it in real time. Just last night, I tuned in and listened on CNN to the Democratic presidential debates. And I listened to Hillary Clinton speaking, and she was being challenged about being where she was in the political spectrum. And she made an interesting statement. She said, "I'm a progressive that knows how to get things done." And as she said those words, what came into my awareness is, yeah, that's what Called by Love for me is all about. I am a revolutionary mystic. And it's about revolutionary love that knows how to get things done. So it's very grounded in practical, everyday realities.
Yeah, so, it's so important that we're having to, in a lot of ways, redefine terms that we've grown up with, that the whole experience is changing so radically and so fast. That the benchmark that I reference a lot is the 2012 procession of the equinoxes. And to the mystics and to the Mayans and so forth, that was initially reported as and interpreted as it was going to be the end of the world, the end of time. And in a way, it was, but it was not the sense that the world was going to blow up and no longer be. What it has been in my understanding and my experience is such a radical shift of, I'm going to call it new energy, that's flexing into the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing, the work that all of the people who are here on the planet and wanting to help lift this planet to express and help the people become all that they've been created to be. We have such an unprecedented access to energy that is of a, I'm going to say it's a higher quality, not to suggest that the other energy that we've had before was not, but it's an energy that we can touch much easier than we have in the past and bring it into the work that we're doing, bring it into that process. You know, when you're talking about the business about being a visionary and that process, I got an analogy just the other day that struck me and in a very powerful way. the analogy is like you're traveling down the road of life, and you know that ahead of you there is going to be a fork in the road. And the question is always, when you arrive at a fork in the road, well, which way do I go? And you think, well, it'd be so nice if I had a map that I could see it from above, and I could see if I went to the right, it would go here, and if I went to the left, it would go there. But that isn't the way we are given to operate. We are given to operate in a much more intuitive way. We are charging forward through life, and at the moment of the intersection, we then intuitively know we go left or we go right. There isn't a sense of knowing in a long sense and being able to plan it out. We make our plans, but yet we are becoming more in tune with that infinite within ourselves and more able to hear that last minute instruction and make the turn that carries our life where it needs to be. How does that connect with, you know, your experience and the unfoldment of Called by Love?
It totally connects with it. And what I realize is it is a different kind of energy. I don't call it different energy as much as I call it different frequency. And it's a different frequency of light. And our soul is in the process of awakening to higher frequencies and then ascending into them. It's like a process of waking up and then growing up. And everyone, I'm not just talking about you and me, I'm talking about 100% of the people on the planet. Everyone is connected into this field that is yearning for us as much as we experience a yearning for something that often we don't even understand, because our human brains, our human minds, aren't wired for it. And so we have to go beyond the mind. And it's very similar to the different vibrations, different frequencies of sound. When we hear the notes on the piano, or for me, the notes on the harp. I was a harpist for many years. They have different vibrations, and each vibration has its own field of resonance. And what happens even on the harp is that just with a small turn of my wrist, when I am playing a C or a G or something like that, that has the normal sound of the harp, when I pull that string, if just a slight turn of my wrist and touch it with the backside of my wrist at the same time I'm playing it with my finger, it sings at a higher harmonic. On the harp, it's called harmonics. It would be the same notes on the piano in each of the octaves. There are higher octaves. What I know is that there are 12 levels in different paradigms. And there is a paradigm for the physical, the human body manifest in form. There is a paradigm for our soul, where we begin to connect with something beyond what we just can touch in the physical. And there's a paradigm for spirit. And in that paradigm is oneness. And you and I, Daniel, are really familiar with this, because it's one of the foundational frameworks that we both learned in seminary: spirit, soul, and body. It's the Trinity, mystically understood. Now, do I talk about that when I'm teaching on the network, going around the globe, connecting with people in Australia or people in Vienna. I'm thinking of people who are regulars on our calls, or people in the many states of the United States, some from Canada, some from Mexico. I don't talk in that kind of what I would call spiritual language so much, although sometimes it comes in because it's part of my imprint, my birth imprint. Usually I try to put it in just really ordinary language. For ordinary people, the way that I would talk to someone like I used to teach when I was a teacher in high school for 20 years. And I had students who were gifted students, and I had students who were in the alternative school who really sometimes had levels of genius, but they didn't really feel comfortable in the world always. They didn't quite know how to relate to the world. And you know what, Daniel? There's a part of me that relates to that a whole lot. The book Stranger in a Strange Land was recommended to me by someone I loved a whole lot about, 6 years ago, I think. I've never read it yet, but I've read in it. But somehow the title, I can look over at it right now by my bookcase. It's still where I see it. I read the title, Stranger in a Strange Land. And somehow I know that part of me is that.
You know, I can really connect with that as well, because the journey that I have been on, as you know very well, from starting in a family who was connected with unity and the whole concept of metaphysics and looking beyond what is clearly in the physical and understanding that there's a much deeper level, and then moving on through education and then the ministry and serving in that way, that the process of a really profound good teacher, a master teacher, is their ability to look at their students, as you were talking about in your classroom, a wide variety of students, because you always will have that. You'll have people that will take what you are teaching at different levels, and it is the master teacher's ability, and it's a gift that I've seen in you, to listen to their students as they would speak and be able to tune in to exactly the level of sophistication or of, I'll say, density of material that is appropriate for them at their level of learning. And that's not putting any disparaging on where they are, because each of us at different times in our unfoldment are at profoundly different levels of learning. That being able to do that, it's such a gift that you have. And I want to thank you for being here on the planet and sharing that with me, certainly, as we were working together in the early days of the Institute. And, you know, as the work you're going forward and doing, tell us a little bit more about how we might get connected up with what you're doing and be able to participate in it.
Well, I'll just sort of fill in a little of the background between the time you and I worked together and now. The first year of Called by Love came to me as sort of surprise. I didn't expect my life to suddenly shift. It happened in a way that was devastating for me. The ending of a significant relationship and the death of a beloved person in my life that I had known for 57 years, and I went into a whole experience of devastation. It was like my whiteboard got erased, and there's actually a post on Called by Love Institute's website that talks about that time, and that's a little bit of the time when you and I were working together. And in that first year, the live Called by Love intensives started. And once a month, we had a Friday night, and you were there. You were helping in significant ways, sometimes teaching, sometimes doing videos, sometimes all kinds of ways. It was amazing. Your work was just incredible. And every single stage of the what I call the codes of co-creation, which are the meditation gardens at Unity in Tustin, each site is a code. And every code was something that we spent at least 7 hours on in a weekend intensive, Friday night and all day, or full day Saturday. And we developed it in such deep and experiential ways. And you were so significant in that time, Daniel, and I really feel such gratitude for all that you gave to that. It was wonderful working with you. And then the first year were the live intensives. The next year, we launched the telecourse that was Living Loving Legacy, and that's livinglovinglegacy.com, and it's still up. People are still connecting into it and tuning into it, and I'm still using that platform. All of the interviews are available free. All people have to do is just register, and there are interviews with some of the most incredible teachers on the planet. And, you know, Adyashante was one of the first interviews, and Andrew Harvey and Don Beck, and Russ Hudson, and Constance Kellogg, who worked so closely with Eckhart Tolle, both of whom had been at Unity of Tustin, and James Twyman, and Roger Walsh, and John Welshens, and Jean Houston, and you know, all of these people, and this is the way, partly the way it works, Daniel, all of these people cross our lives somehow. We sometimes plan it, we sometimes don't. But they are, they're what I call intersections in time. And it's like what Constance Kellogg described in her call, we all have golden threads in our life. And sometimes these threads cross. And she said, Eckhart and I have always talked about the fact that that point of crossing of our golden threads catapulted us both into whole new realms. And the whole new realms for Eckhart Tolle was ending up being on Oprah, and now with his own program on the web, which I subscribe to and get all the things that he does. And for her, it was becoming the founder of Namaste Publishing. That happened during a time when neither one of them were famous, and Eckhart was still sitting part-time on a park bench, which he writes about and in The Power of Now, and talked about when he first came to Unity of Tustin before he was famous. And so we all have these intersections in time. You and I have an intersection in time. The question is, will we recognize it and take it to its fullest potential? And so just to, the next year after the telesummit, Called by Love did telecourses for a full year. Some of them are still online on Living Loving Legacy and excuse me, they're there too, but they're also on calledbyloveinstitute.com. And one of them, for example, is Finding Joy in the Unknowing. So many of us go through periods of unknowing in our life. We don't understand what's happening in our lives. Sometimes there's immense loss. What's always happening potentially in that moment of immense loss is a shift into a new paradigm. But we have to go into what Jean Jean Houston calls the time of the parentheses. And it's a monumental shift, and it takes us beyond our perception of seeing through the lens of duality, of good and bad, right and wrong, even good and evil, to a lens where we see how, now here's my scriptural imprint coming in, how all things work together for good for those who love and are called according to love's purpose. Now,
wow, that's beautiful.
I didn't, yeah. And that, of course, comes from the Bible. It comes from Romans 8:28. It talks about loving God, but to me, love and God are synonyms. And so I don't have to use any language that may leave people feeling excluded because they don't feel biblical or they don't feel scriptural or they don't feel religious. If they know how to love, and what I'll promise you, every person on the planet knows how to love. We learn it when we're infants, when we're being held and in the arms of our mother or whomever held us. We learn it, and we're still learning it. So right now, just this year, we launched Cult by Love Institute, which is, the platform is much vaster than the platform for the Telesummit, although the Telesummit can be accessed through it. It's like we transcend and include, and that's the way we do in our lives. You had the great gift of having parents who were connected with unity. My parents were fundamentalist Christians. My family of origin still is. And yet somehow my soul's journey involved transcending and including things like unity and then the spiral and integral. And the most recent thing I'm doing is working with Terry O'Fallon, whom I'm very excited about, going to a 5-day intensive a week from now in San Diego with her on Stages. It's her platform. Stages is an inventory that lets us know where we are in our own soul's journey. And I took her test or her profile, and I had taken one with Suzanne Cook-Greuter, whom I met in 2004, now more than 10 years ago. But I took Terry's, and she's identified for the very first time the 12 stages, which I've always known were there. But I had no real in-the-world definitions for the highest reaches. Now I do because of that test. And Terry and I are now working on developing a test, which we're just beginning to work with. And that will be connecting. I call it the love test. And she says, "Well, Marge, it's more. It's the developmental stages of love." But my shorthand, quick and easy title is the love test, which will be on Called by Love's platform eventually, probably a year from now or less. I'm not in charge of this. It's Spirit doing it. It's really clear to me, Daniel.
It's so amazing to hear all of the evolutions of the work that you started. Now, you're talking about the intersection in time, that I'd like to take a moment and just kind of catch you up on how that our intersection in time has impacted me, that I am in the process of developing a program around the concept of sovereign soul. And the idea is that as we are created in the image of God, as we've been taught through the scriptures and we have spoken of so many times as we have worked with people, that the idea of that at that soul level, we are sovereign. We are in control of the connectedness of who we are. And you spoke also about the ego and the ego not needing, you know, not, if the ego is involved, it kind of tends to trash everything that we work on. And this is not about an ego statement. It's about a recognition, a profound recognition of who we truly are. It's something that, you know, I understand, and I know you do, that God is inside of all of us. It's not that it's something that we acquire. It is part of the basic hardware that we are sent here with. It's part of who we are. There are a lot of different ways of talking about it and identifying it, and it doesn't really matter a great deal which one you use. They're going to relate, you know, a little bit differently to different folks. But the idea that this is who we are. So the living as a sovereign soul is the program that I'm in the process of putting together. And there's three key elements to it. It's a unique branded system about helping people to really connect with who they are at a very practical level. The first is the acronym for it is ACT, A-C-T. The first is to access, and that's about really kind of cleaning up the communication between ourselves and the Creator. The second phase is to cognize, which is, in a sense, to get our thinking rolled around who we are. I mean, it's one thing to say, and I know over the years people have said, they'll use an affirmation and they'll speak about their connection with the Creator. But it's been just words, that the sense of really at a heart level connecting with who they are has not been there. And so the second phase of cognize is the business of wrapping ourselves around that. And one of the key elements of that phase is something I call the four compassions. And I don't want to take a lot of time to get into that, but compassion, as I'm using it here, is not like the compassion that we were perhaps taught as children about feeling sorry for someone. It's about so completely connecting with them that you recognize and you celebrate their divinity. And then the third phase is to transform. It's to take these processes of connecting and then kind of working around and understanding who we are, and then literally transforming the connection of our lives so that we approach our lives connected to the source at a creator level rather than as a victim level. And this, you know, this is what you have inspired me to do. And I'm so excited. I'm so thankful for the work that we did together at the beginning of Called by Love.
You know, that's beautiful. I'm really, really loving hearing you talk about where it's taken you and your update. And that's what happens over and over and over again. We are moving out of the realm of competition. That's the old world. That is the one that is fading away. That's the world of the ego. Only egos compete. We're shifting in this monumental leap into a world of collaboration, into a world of cooperation, into a world of co-creating, and competition is not part of it. It's as different as the realms of duality are from the realms of non-dual awareness. And it doesn't mean that you trash all of the experiences of your life that have been about success and failure necessarily. It just means that suddenly you realize that you learned from all of them, and they're all divine gifts, all of them. And then you begin functioning at a whole different vibration.
Absolutely. One of the key things that has worked for me in that process, you know, is the idea that God is inside of me, and God is inside of you. And it's, I'm just limiting it to the two of us because we're in conversation, but the reality is it's across the entire planet. It's all of us. But then I start to think about that from that point of view. So if God is inside of me, and I'm thinking now, none of that is just as a something for the future, but that's the way it really is. How do I look at life differently? What's different when I make that shift? And that kind of little mental step is one of the things we talk about in the cognized part. It's about how to take the truth of being and move away from seeing it as outside of ourselves and moving from inside, looking at who we are. And then as I understand that God is in me and God is in you, then there is no competition any more than there's a competition between your right and left hand for which one is best.
That's exactly it. Here, what just dropped in for me again is scripture. You know, we are all part of one body. And
absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the highest level of this Trinity that in fundamentalist Christianity that I knew as a child was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost was actually the way it got phrased in the church of my family of origin, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And now I know it within the framework where I've transcended and included as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with Holy Spirit being the mother energy, Mother Earth energy of the Beloved, and Father, the transcendent energy of the Beloved, and in between, the soul. And that, you know, spirit, soul, and body. So it's amazing how all of this has always been there, always, already, from my childhood, growing up in that literal, fundamentalist, Bible-oriented church of my childhood, to where I am now as a revolutionary mystic. And it's really fun to include all of it, what I call the 1,000 pieces of the puzzle. It's
you know,
wonderful.
And you know, I'm so glad you mentioned puzzle because, you know, that's part of the way that I have kind of restructured the way I think about things, and that is that all of us are here working on puzzles. That's what we're doing. Whether the puzzle is one of relationship, the relationship to the Creator, to the people around us, or how to create the kind of flow in our lives that brings us access to the resources that we want. The older code word for that might have been prosperity. That we are who we are, and we are here, and we are learning as we go. One of the great things that has been for me is, as you know, I am what I call myself a ferryman, that I am like Siddhartha in the Hermann Hesse novel, except my boat is a limousine and my rivers are the concrete highways of Orange County. But as I ferry individuals from stars in the entertainment industry to corporate CEOs and head of business, that what I learned from that is how we are all so, so similar. We've worked puzzles differently. We've applied different things. And as we open ourselves to the people around us and are just willing to listen with our heart, that we gain so much information. Many times those rides will go for 45 minutes or an hour to wherever I'm going, and not a single word will be said other than the those that are required in terms of understanding of the destination and so forth. And even in those times, the learning that I've experienced is profound. that we are all connected in such wonderful and powerful ways. The work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing, the work that so many people are doing, even those who do not have the slightest idea that they are doing work, it's profound. That as a human being, we are the only creatures on the planet that actually create light, that we create energy. That's part of what we've been endowed with. And so if, regardless of what our knowledge base is, no matter what we think or how we frame things, the very fact that we are alive on the planet today, we are adding to the energy of the planet and we are helping to lift the light. And one of the most exciting things that I'm seeing is that we're moving out of the idea and out of the notion of victim and beginning to recognize that the spirit of truth, the light, the love, this is now coming up over the darkness, the negative, the evil, depending on how you want to phrase it. We're at a point in the evolution of our planet that we are moving into the light in such a strong and powerful way. And the succession of the equinoxes, that marker of that that was called out by the Mayan, is the cycle of our solar system moving around the core of the galaxy. We are now, Mars, moving into a part of the space, in a very technical, scientific way, that we have never been in before while there have been humans alive on the planet. We've been there before in other cycles around the galaxy. But we are moving into a place in which the scientists are beginning to see that there is a radiation or an energy that is there that is different than anything they've experienced. And some of them look at that from the traditional way. Oh, we've got this energy and this how are we going to deal with it? But those who are intuitively in tune with the radiant energy of life understand that what this is moving into this higher frequency that you were talking about. And it is now accessible in a much easier way. And this is the most exciting time of my life.
That is so powerful. That is absolutely wonderful. And, you know, you're talking about the kinds of people that you connect with and how they don't even always know that what really came into my awareness as you were talking about that is the launch that we're doing right now. We're right in the middle of it, getting ready to do what the title of a course. And the title of this launch is Your Life as a Sacred Love Story. Everyone's life is a sacred love story when we see it. And, you know, so I want to absolutely remember to mention this, so let me just tell people how they can sign up for it. If they're interested in getting the emails that we're sending out, we sent one out yesterday describing the course that will ultimately be coming, and more emails will be going out. You can sign up for it on calledbyloveinstitute.com, and then you get updates. And you'll find this interesting, Daniel, because one of the things that I went through was my own process of, you know, how do we deal with the whole World Wide Web dynamic of the invisible platform? And I was used to the bricks and mortar platform of Unity of Tustin and the whole love offering concept. And my heart is there, not on the bricks and mortar platform, but with the awareness that anyone can walk through the door at any moment in time, whether they think they can afford it or not. Anyone can walk through the door. And so Called by Love Institute, everything we're doing on that platform now on the World Wide Web is all based on love donation. And I am celebrating that. My heart feels totally aligned, totally resonant. I was struggling with some of the things I was learning from some of the best coaches on how to develop things for the web. But often they had price tags on them that felt beyond the reach of some of the kind of people that I know are really, really important to reach. Some of them can afford $300 or $500 or $700 or $1,000 or even $100,000, as I learned one of the coaches was charging for their fees. But I somehow couldn't wrap my heart around that. It was like I needed to have that openness of love that includes everyone. And so we shifted to a nonprofit platform, and everything is love donation. So your life as a sacred love story is love donation, as are all of the intensives at Unity of Tustin that we do now. The next one is actually coming up in November, November 13 and 14, and anyone on our list, which we send emails to, receives information about those kinds of things. So, and you should show up one of these days, Daniel. I think you would love checking in, and people would love seeing you and hearing updates from you.
Each time I see the posting about it, I think about it, but so often that those are times that I'm on the road with my ferry, because for the most part I work the prime time for me is Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and so and often my first Saturday morning pickup is at 5:30 in the morning. So it makes it kind of challenging to do that. But what I will do is we come into the holiday season and so forth, sometimes that the schedule lightens up. And I would very much like to touch back in and see old friends and connect up with what's going on. And one of the one of the really powerful things that I have learned in this part of the journey, I guess the best way to put it, is that we don't know what we don't know. And that has come to my attention over and over and over again. And the importance of keeping our mind and heart open to explore things that that we might have not have thought of before, or the kind of situation that crosses our path. And through that, I have been led into some of the most wonderful discoveries, both about myself and about life and about the energy of the planet and about who we are, where we're going, and what's happening. And it's been a powerful process of my, developing this, this program that I'm working with. And, you can find out some more information about it at the website, sovereignsoul.com. And that's a place where it kind of outlines the process that, in some ways, it's kind of following the pattern that you've talked about, doing live intensives and then working toward creating a platform on the web where people can be active and be involved in it who are not able to travel to a, physical location to be part of it. But the whole idea, and when we were talking about the love offering, that has been one of the challenges that I have faced throughout my entire career, that the idea of putting a charge or thinking somehow there needed to be a charge for the work and the services that I do. Because I realized that what has been given to me has been given to me. I don't have to pay a fee to the Holy Spirit, to the Divine Presence. I just need to show up and be there, and it's given to me. And something that is given to me, who am I to say that you or anyone else needs to pay a fee to receive what's been given to me. It just, to me, it has always rubbed me the wrong way. And in part has been a reason why the movement within the structure of organized religion has, we haven't resonated well together. We work together for a while and then move off into other areas and then come back. And it's always been a process of taking the spiritual principles that are so near and dear to me and applying them outside of the framework of the organization, if you will. And in each case, I've learned so, so very much. And I'm excited about, again, going forward with this new work without the idea that I have to put a charge on it. Yes, of course there's costs involved. Yet, if I am connected without reservation to the extent of the Holy Spirit, of all that is, then why can't I trust that whatever need I have is going to be met? You know, as I look back over my history, every need that I've had has been met. Has everything I've wanted showed up? No. But then, you know, as I stop and think back over those things that I wanted and didn't show up, it's become clear to me that I really didn't need them. They weren't something that was critical to the purpose that lay before me. And, you know, sometimes people like to think of that as like a prededication or the sense that you're on a path that you can't change. And that's not it at all. It's on a path that I have chosen and that have been involved in that creative acceptance of it from before the beginning of time. And so, you know, as I'm here and I know that you're that way, and more of the people on the planet are recognizing that profound connection and are willing to open up and give freely from their hearts. And that's such a powerful part of this time.
You know, one of the things that I know is required to go into the quantum leap, the paradigm shift from duality into non-dual awareness, which is the kingdom of heaven realm, or the miracles realm. There's lots of ways to describe it. The I am that realm is that you have to surrender. You surrender the part of you that has stubbornly said, I am going to make it happen. And you're talking about an ego structure. You know, it's mine. It's all about me. And that's not ever going to do it. There is an element of surrender into the greater. And once that happens, you start living under another vibration, which has different laws. They've been called divine laws. It's a different frequency that is more pure. And it's about giving and receiving. And, you know, in the Bible, it refers to it as give. Actually, it's the words of Jesus in Luke. I think it's the 6th chapter where it says, give and it will be given unto you. And that's the law you live under when you are in this higher realm. It's a law of giving and receiving, but the giving comes first. It's not about everything being free. It's interesting. We think, oh, this is a free thing. Well, that's a distortion that goes back to the realms of the ego. And, you know, always looking for what's free. This is a higher realm of giving and receiving. And you might be interested, Daniel, in checking out on Called by Love Institute's webpage. There's a love donation button. And if you click on that, over on the right-hand side, there's a sidebar. Well, it says you choose. And there's a box you can choose with some power of one suggestions. But and if you want to know more, you can click on see more in that description at the right-hand side, and I give some ideas about what it means relative to where we choose to give. And so I've chosen to give all that I am and all that I have.
Mm.
That's it. It's pretty amazing.
You know, as you said that, it takes me back to the words of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore in their dedication about dedicating all that they have and all that they hope to have to the
exactly.
unity movement. I'm paraphrasing it. I didn't quote it exactly, but that's the essence of it, that willingness to so totally give of themselves to what was before them. Now, they didn't, as they sat down and wrote that, they did not know where that movement was going to go. They didn't know what was going to unfold. But they were willing to put such a high level of trust that they opened themselves for, you know, such inspiration after inspiration, and drew to them the other members of the teams that helped to build the movement as it was, and provided you and I and many others with powerful information that has literally transformed our lives and put us in a place where we could be of tremendous service to the people around us.
And, you know, that document, which we now know as the Dedication and Covenant, was not found until after the death. No one knew they had even written it, but there it was, signed, written in their handwriting, signed and dated. So that will be one of the things that I teach people about at some point. I haven't designed that yet, but it'll be in the Ultimate Design. I've had that Dedication and Covenant for many, many years. I don't know if you were at Unity in Tustin when I taught Conscious Covenant for many years. And many people wrote their own dedications and covenants and had absolute miracles come into their life. So Tom Zender, who became the president of Unity Worldwide, wrote a Dedication and Covenant in that Conscious Covenant class. And wow, what unfolded in his life was incredible after that. So
absolutely. Well, you know, in essence, that's what I'm talking about in this program that I'm developing. It's about being able to connect at that kind of level and the practical steps that allow us to do that. And to be able to function at that level. Yeah. I call myself, in the context of the class, a master soul engineer. And the reason I chose that framework to present from is that an engineer is someone who kind of connects the mystical work of the architect or the theoretical physicist with the practical application of the worker who builds the product or builds the building. That engineer is that one in between who kind of knows both worlds and helps to connect them. And so that's a part of what I'm doing and a part of the, you know, what's exciting me about going forward. I say without reservation that this is the most exciting time of my life.
I love it. You know, and it sort of humorously brings me back to the quote that I used from Hillary Clinton at the beginning of our talk today.
Yes.
I'm a progressive, and yet I know how to get things done in the world, you know.
Absolutely.
And
my
statement out of that is I'm a revolutionary mystic, and I know how to make it work in the world.
That is perfect. Well, Marge, we're kind of running to the end of our time. We've spoken together for a little bit over an hour, and it's
amazing
how that time has just disappeared. It shows that time is something that is truly relative. As we come to a close, what would you like to say as a kind of a final gift to those who are listening and in terms of what you're doing, how to get in touch with you, and anything else that's important for you to say?
Well, if I could give everyone a gift in this now moment that they could, in this very moment, take into their life and practice and experience miracles as a result of it, I would give them the gift of what I call the gratitude practice. Every single day, sit for a time, it could be 3 minutes, it could be more, in the stillness, and go into a space of aligning yourself with that stillness, and write down three things, people, places, whatever, that you're grateful for. Just three. The three is really important because the three is that trinity I talked about, spirit, soul, and body. And then do it in the morning, go back and look at it again at night, and test it, put it to the test for at least 21 days. It takes that long to rewire your mind. So that's one gift I would give them. The other gift would be to sign up for Called by Love Institute. And it's www.calledbyloveinstitute.com. And, you know, it just says sign in, clear up at the top, and then at the bottom there's another place to sign in. You can find it, or you can find it on Living Loving Legacy. It's a little more visible there. Sign up. And sign up for Daniel's site also. He gave you the link to that. These are the kinds of intersections in time that literally could catapult you into whole new levels in your life, in much the same way that Conscience Kellogg and Eckhart Tolle had happen in their life when their lives intersected in time. Eckhart was sitting on a park bench. Conscience was using a room in her husband's office do what she was doing, and everything changed as a result of that decision. And so make the decision. Sign up for an intersection in time.
And thank
Daniel,
you. That's,
it has been, it's been a great joy being connected with you again. Renewing introspection in time.
Yeah, I have missed that as well. You know, another thing I would say just very briefly about the number three, and that is, as you look back into numerology, that three is a catalyst, and it is an energy that when you bring three together, that whether three ideas, three people, whatever, that something happens. The catalyst causes change to take place without changing itself. So the infinite presence is there and it's always unchangeable, but everything around it changes as a result of the connection. I want to tell you folks a little bit about our guest for next week. He is going to be Larry Schwartz. He is a Unity minister in the Tucson area, and he is going to be talking with us next week and sharing some of his insights into the time that he has spent there and what he has learned in the process of sharing light and love in his community. That you can find out more by going to blogtalkradio.com, Wisdom Within Us, all one word. And you'll find the recording of this program there so that those that you know that didn't have a chance to be here and to be a part of this, they can tune into that and listen to it at their own time. This will be airing formally today at 4 p.m. Pacific time, so there's nobody hearing this live right now besides you and I, Marge. But at 4, this is going to go out to folks all over the planet, and they can have a chance to invite their friends to listen to it later. So, again, thank you so much for being part of this. I hope you'll come back and be a guest again at some point in the future. And
I would love that.
I wish you very well. Very well. Enjoy the rest of the day, and thank you so much for being a part of this.
Much love to you, Daniel. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Grinch presents Lie Detector. Kyle and Audrey have been hooked up to a lie detector. Let's see who's telling the truth and who's lying.
I have iPhone Forever from Sprint, so I never have to wait to get the newest iPhone.
I don't have iPhone Forever from Sprint, so it's 15 months until I can upgrade to the new iPhone 6S. But I don't mind waiting. And I'm not jealous of your new iPhone either. Honestly, I'm not lying.
Get the fire extinguisher!
On second thought, can I just switch to Sprint?
The world's best offer on iPhone 6S. Get iPhone 6S as low as $1 a month when you trade in your iPhone 6. And with iPhone Forever, get a new iPhone every year forever.
Offer not available everywhere. Includes 21-month lease, no security deposit. Excludes taxes, subject to well-qualified credit. New line port and $36 activation fee. Requires smartphone trade-in. Regular $22 a month. iPhone Forever's lease upgrade eligibility does not guarantee monthly payment amount, phone selection, or plan rates. Services additional charge. Remaining lease payments due if service canceled. Restrictions apply. See Sprint.com.